Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Yeah, believe it or not, this is already the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. We moved it up because Dan the Man is getting out of work early, so I'm waiting for him to join us. If you'd like to call in, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, go ahead and email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. You know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so we will get a new one popping up there tomorrow morning. You can look for it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's. Perfect timing.
Yes, just perfect. So, interestingly, I expected the kids out of finding out this morning, or maybe it was later last night, that, you know, while the Lakers got LeBron James, and obviously it's going to be an interesting ride, or however you want to look at it, well, you know, the Warriors decided to answer. So what do? They go out and they find a way to get DeMarcus Cousins to agree to a one-year deal worth all of about $5 million. Now, you know, the Pelicans really wanted to keep him. He probably could have signed for close to a max deal there. So my guess is he wants to win a title. You know, he's a little, let's call him volatile, to kind of use the proper term there. But, you know, after LeBron, he was one of the better free agents out there. Dan, you know, let's just give him the title for next year now and get it over with.
You're LeBron or Cousins?
Cousins. I mean, how are you going to beat the Warriors?
Well, apparently he's, like I said yesterday, I think he's willing to wait to grow with them.
So, you know, I mean, you look at their starting five now, and, you know, we're talking, you know, obviously Curry and Thompson will be out at the guards. You know, you got Durant and Draymond Green at forward, and now you throw Cousins in at center, you know, who I believe last year had a game where he actually had 40 points and 40 rebounds. I don't believe he'll be doing that kind of scoring with the Warriors, but he won't have to. So, you know, I mean, you could come off the bench and still be, you know, they'd still be playing.
Well, I mean, I could definitely play if they're looking for a guy to foul people.
Right.
As long as someone pays my ejection fees or my flagrant foul fee.
I don't know. So, yeah, you know, I thought that was an interesting, you know, I guess you would call it an answer to the, you know, the Lakers move. It's like, oh, okay, you guys are going to be able to bring LeBron in and, you know, now, you know, probably not get to the Western Conference Finals for multiple years, if ever, depending on how long the Warriors stay together and what the Rockets do. And, yeah, here the Warriors come and say, oh, yeah, we'll just land this guy. This guy will come play with us for no money. So, yeah, wonderful.
Well, I saw the signing, but is he really getting playing for like no money?
You know, it was reported as $5 million. I haven't seen any other kind of confirmation on, you know, maybe there's some, you know, incentives or something to that effect. But I've been looking for some numbers, and I haven't really found anything yet. I don't know if it's going to come out, you know, as things go wrong here. Yeah, it says 1 year, $4.3 million.
Wow.
So.
That is nothing.
Yeah, especially, you know, especially by NBA terms, you know, that's, you know, nothing, you know, less than nothing with, you know, these guys. You know, James just got, what did he get for 4 years? 156, you know, mm-hmm. And I think Durant got the 205 max or whatever it was, or close to it. So, you know, and I, you know, it's not like Cousins needs the money. I mean, he's been playing in the league for a few years, and as long as he saved his money, it's not that big a deal. But yeah, it's just interesting. So, but yeah, some more NBA stuff here, Dan. Apparently, our guy Jimmy Butler, who we loved as a Bull, we didn't really know him, but we loved him, is incredibly disappointed with younger teammates he has in Minnesota. And the term they use to describe it here, the quote that's been kind of a touch to him here, or hung on him here, he doesn't like the nonchalant attitude of his younger teammates, and he specifically points out Karl Anthony Towns, who is looked upon as one of the better young big men in the NBA. On the side note of this, Dan, apparently Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler are attempting to find a way to play together on the same team in the very near future.
Well, I guess first we kind of go backwards. You know, a couple of years to when Jimmy was here in Chicago, and it was coming out that he was kind of the problem. Do you see that as being an issue now? Not now, but that was the issue. Maybe it kind of was him here in that last year with Rondo and Dwayne Wade. And then my follow-up to that, because I know you know everything, would Jimmy and Kyrie actually be able to put together a team almost equivalent to LeBron, Wade, and Bosh in the Heat days?
Yeah, you know, I'll go the second one first. You know, if Irving could stay healthy, which for whatever reason he hasn't managed to find a way to do yet in his NBA career, you know, a duo like that could probably attract a third guy, you know, if they had someone in mind, or, you know, maybe they're looking to go somewhere, you know, they already have an idea. You know, maybe there's a nucleus they like, and, you know, they would want to go there. On the interest, you know, both Butler and Irving can both opt out of their player options after the next season here, after the 2018-2019 season. So, maybe we'll see them both on the free agent market, and, you know, maybe they'll both be playing for Golden State in 2 years. So.
No, I think they would stay in the East and grab somebody else to kind of put together a team now that the King is out.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would think, I mean, if I'm a star, I'm looking to go to the East, you know, myself, just to see if, you know, I can find my way to the finals and maybe luck into a title. But, yeah, you know, and then the second part, it was humorous because the two guys you mentioned, Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, Wade is, of course, at this point in his career, notorious for taking practices off because he's put in his time to work. You know, you can understand that. And Rondo is smaller versions of DeMarcus Cousins. You know, Cousins is almost 7 foot. Rondo's just a little over 6 feet. But they're very similar. I often wonder if Cousins would have stayed healthy last year, if they would have killed each other in the Pelicans locker room. But, yeah, so you wonder, you know, was it Butler or, you know, was it a couple of slack veterans who were just cashing checks at that point? You know, like Minnesota, I mean, are you surprised, Dan, that young guys don't want to work? Does that surprise you?
No, isn't that today's just day and age?
You know, and I mean, you're looking at a kid like Towns who was handed everything, you know, he only went to college for 1 year, and, you know, you and I damn well know he never found his way into a classroom. You know, he was heavily recruited out of high school. So, you know, it's just been given to this kid over and over and over. And while he does appear to be incredibly talented, you know, lack of work isn't going to make you get any better. You know, and that may be Jimmy's problem as much as anything. You got to remember, he's not supposed to be here. You know, he was a second round draft pick that a lot of people didn't think would ever see the floor in the NBA, let alone end up being one of the top players now in the NBA. Cause you got to figure he's top 10 at this point. And you know, how did he get there? Well, he worked his ass off to get there. So, you know, the problem with him may be the fact that he just may expect too much out of these guys. You know, maybe they're working hard, but they're not working hard to the Jimmy Butler standard of working hard. So, you know, maybe it's a little on each side. You can take a little off of both and things would work out better. So, but yeah, you know, it would definitely be an interesting pairing if they could somehow land in the same place and, you know, manage to, you know, bring a third guy in to that extent.
I was going to say, I didn't realize he was at that level to where he, you know, wants to see guys, well, not wants to see, but really pushes for it. Or I didn't know if he was, you know, part of this new generation.
Yeah, I obviously, you know, I don't follow it enough to know what and where and all that fun stuff. But yeah, you know, he's definitely one of the, you know, and you know, the difference with Butler and a lot of these guys, you know, he actually plays two way. You know, he's not afraid to play a little defense. So, you know, that's not a big issue for him.
Defense? What is that?
So, I know there were some, you know, some other things, minor things reported. I know I saw Jeff Green is going to leave the Cavaliers for a 1-year deal with the Washington Wizards. I didn't see the money, and I believe Avery Bradley signed a 2-year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. So, a couple of other kind of minor signing stuff like that. You know, it's weird because I keep reading and I keep seeing that apparently teams just aren't really all that excited with the free agent market. So I'm wondering, you know, are a lot of these guys going to sit out there now? You know, is it going to be a little bit like the football deal where it's like, hey, here you go. These guys are out here and nobody wants them.
Oh. Well, I mean, now that LeBron's signed, don't you think guys kind of let the summer league play out and get a little closer to opening day before you start to make see what you got in your rookies?
Yeah, well, you know, not so much the rookies, you know, just the guys who are still hanging around, out there. Cause you know, there were a few guys, like Marcus Smart is still hanging around out there. Clint Capella had a really good year with the Rockets last year. So, you know, there are some guys, you know, you just kind of, I kind of thought maybe they would come off the board, a little earlier. I was a little curious that a guy like J.J. Redick didn't go run into the Warriors as soon as his deal was expired and say, hey, I'll play here for $5.3 million too, because he would fit into exactly what they need, you know, a shooter who would come off the bench. And then don't forget, Dan, you know, Isaiah Thomas is still out there. So we have to see if somebody's going to be willing to reach out and, you know, bring him in.
Did he have the Lakers last year?
Yeah, he finished the year with the Lakers. Yeah, he ended up with the Lakers. So
LeBron going there, I'm sure it was pretty much confirmed he won't be going back, right?
Yeah, well, that and the fact that they added a boatload of guards. You know, not only did they add Rondo, they brought in Lance Stevenson, and then they brought back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, they already have Lonzo Ball on the roster with, I'm drawing a name on his backup, but his backup is still there. So, yeah, they loaded up on guards in free agency. So, yeah, I don't know what their idea was or how it worked out, but, you know, I know to bring Rondo in, they let Julius Randle go, and Randle ended up signing with the Pelicans, so I guess he got, you know, in kind of a circular way, he got cousin spot, so. But yeah, so you know, a lot of movement, you know, a lot of fun, you know, interesting kind of weirdo stuff there. Even with LeBron off the board, I think there was a little more interesting moves today because you know it was just kind of like, you know, it's like LeBron, and do we care that much? So.
Well, it was a big surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was kind of one of those things, you know, like you said, it was, you know, like when he opted out, was it really breaking news? Because we all kind of knew he was we knew at the beginning of the last year he was opting out. So, you know, like, wait, what do you mean it's breaking news? We kind of knew this. I mean, how do we get excited about this? So, but, yeah, you know. You know, like I said, you know, I think it was just a little more fun today, you know, with some of the other stuff going on. And I really like that Warriors move as long as, you know, he's, I'm more to see how he kind of fits in, you know, and if he'll dial more than, you know, anything else. And I actually forgot about this yesterday. I meant to ask you. We don't need to talk any more basketball. That's funny for me. Did you, by any chance, get a look at the Mariners uniforms from Sunday's game?
Those turn back the clock, Ken Griffey designed softball jerseys.
It was turn back the clock. So that's that was 2027 or something like that. They were turning the clock ahead to, and I know a lot of people who actually liked them. Man, I couldn't have hated them anymore. I thought they were horrible. So yeah, I was just curious if you managed to come across those and what you thought.
Yeah, I didn't really think a whole lot about them. You know, maybe if they toned it down just a little bit.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't be futuristic, would they? You know?
Man, whoever made them is really pushing, huh?
So yeah, you know, like, I was kind of like, great, you know, but yeah, there, you know, there were, like I said, there were a few guys who really thought they were fantastic on the baseball, you know, the MLB network. I was like, no, God, no, don't ever wear these again. So I hope that's a, you know, a one-time thing, and I'm sure plenty of fans bought them, and you can probably still get them. Yeah, I just no interest at all in that. So
I figured you'd have one.
And yeah, no. I did see Shane Victorino signed a one-day deal with the Phillies so he could officially retire as a Philly. Well, that's what I think pretty much everybody remembers him as anyways, right, as a Philly?
Yeah, I mean, not a Dodger.
No, you know, I know he was a Red Sox for a little while, but, you know, that's another thing. It's just kind of like, yeah, he was definitely a Philly. So But, and then this, you know, this one affected me. I don't know if it affected anybody else. If you got Ryan McCann on your team and you're like me and you don't have room on the DL and you got to figure out what to do, he will be out 4 to 6 weeks because he had knee surgery. So, yeah, be aware of that. So if you got to juggle your catching core, or I had to drop a guy to put him on the DL and then pick up another guy. So yeah, it was wonderful for me. So I'm hoping not everybody had to deal with that. And it's just the fun part of my year that, again, everybody is still hurt and I can't seem to shake the damn thing no matter what I do. So there you go. That was my, my fun morning was going through the waiver wire in our, I believe it was our regular league, not Snake League, the other one, and trying to figure out how I could juggle it to make this work and have, you know, another catcher so I could get point, you know, continue to get points. So, but yeah, and then we do have one game going, Dan. It's your Cubs. You know, the Tigers are in town. They are actually ahead of the Cubs right now. It looks like we're going into the top of the sixth inning. It's 3-0 Detroit. Dan, what's going on with Kyle Hendricks? Because I know my email is going to light up here in a little bit from your good friend Schomburg, too. 3 runs, 7 hits over 5, struck out 2, walked 1. Not a quality start there, Dan. I don't know if it looks like he has been removed. No surprise, he pitched 5 innings. So he's gone there. But, yeah, what's the deal? Have you been scouting him? Do you know what's going on with him? And, you know, can you help us out?
I mean, do you find it oddly convenient that he kind of struggles and has not performed at his levels since getting a new coach?
Well, actually, I find it oddly convenient that this is the first year I've had him on my fantasy team, and this is probably the worst year of his career. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm baffled by a lot of this with this move. You know, I mean, I thought the pitching staff was pretty good last year. You know, and again, I understand the move. I mean, there's a lot of nepotism behind it. You know, Kevin Hickey is Joe Madden's buddy from way back in Tampa Bay, so he becomes available, and you knew they were going to go get him. I mean, you know, that was like, you know, we knew back in, you know, April that the Warriors and the Cavaliers would be in the NBA Finals. So, you know, it was just inevitable that it was going to happen. But, yeah, has he, with the exception of John Lester, has he helped the pitcher on this team?
Not really. I mean, and to that, has he really helped John Lester?
Well, I mean, you know, Lester's at least having a good year. You know, I mean, I don't think there's another pitcher you could say is having a good year.
Yeah, no, and that's not what I mean by, I'm not knocking John Lester, but, you know, alluding to the fact that does he need help? He's a pro. He's been doing this forever. He's got a few rings. He doesn't really need someone to turn him around.
Yeah, but, you know, neither did, you know, Hendricks. You know, Hendricks didn't need to be turned around. And, I mean, in reality, you know, neither did Quintana. You know, I mean, he kept a bad White Sox team in a lot of games. So, you know, I mean, you know, Darvish needed work. And, you know, we saw how that went. I mean, you know, he's got an ERA of almost 5. So, I kind of thought the pitching coach was supposed to make you better. And I don't see this improvement. I mean, you know, coming into today, Hendricks' ERA was 4.21, Quintana's was 4.31, Chatwood was 4.54, and then Darvish was 4.95. And, you know, and that's 4 of your 5. Lester was the stud here. He's 11-2 with a 2.25 ERA. So, yeah, I don't get it. So, yeah, I, you know, just not sure there. And, you know, the bullpen, you know, it started off pretty good. You know, it actually really did. And, you know, Steve Cishek has carried it. You know, Brendan Morrow's been good when he, you know, hasn't tried to take his pants off. But, you know, I mean, like, you know, every time I see your guy Justin Wilson come in, man, I'm just afraid it's going to become a dumpster fire really quick. You know, Strope has good numbers, but he's had some issues as of late. So, yeah, I don't know, Dan. What's the gist of this here? I'm confused by this whole thing.
Well, that's why I told you it's awfully coincidental that they bring in a new pitching coach and things kind of go the opposite way.
Yeah. So. All right, well, on the opposite side, Michael Fulmer got the start for the Tigers. I actually have both these guys on the same team, so I'm getting in today. Maybe one of them will manage to get a win. The Cubs did just score their first run. He just gave up his first run. 5 hits through 4 innings, walked the 2, struck out 4. So, you know, it's a little early considering they're only in the, what did I say it was? To worry too much about fantasy numbers, but the Cubs have 5 hits. It's Almora, Schwarber, Contreras, Russell, and Tommy La Stella picking up the hits there. The Tigers have 7. James McCann, Jim Aducci, Nico Goodman, and Nicholas Castellanos each have 1. And if you just happen to have Mikey Matuk, because I know he was a undervalued fantasy guy today, I read, he's actually 3 for 3 with a run scored. So he looks like he was the possibly the play of the day in this game. But, yeah, that's where they are now. You know, I don't think the game will go final before you and I get off air today, so we'll have to catch up with it later. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, as a Cub fan, I mean, have you been – disappointed, or are you okay? I mean, they're still hanging around first place, even though I don't think they played well. You know, very similar to last year, and you know that was a disappointing playoff exit. How are you digging this team now?
Well, Jason Hayward's playing a lot better.
Yes, he is.
You know, I mean, I'm the one over the last couple of years has been like kind of like calm down, relax. He's going to get it together. Maybe it's taken a lot longer than everyone would have liked, but I think everyone also expected him to come in and, you know, hit 50 home runs. And bat, well, it doesn't matter what batting average is because people don't really know what that is anymore. But they just expected him to come in and hit 50 home runs, which he's not that kind of player. So I'm pretty pleased with where he's at right now, but as far as the rest of the team, I mean, I really don't know what to say. Is this, you know, were they built up to be more than what they were? Or are we really seeing who they are?
Yeah. You know, obviously, Dan, you know, there's a lot of trade talk. You know, you and I went through a lot of the Machado stuff, and he dominates trade talk no matter what it was, but I thought there was kind of an interesting, call it proposal or however you kind of look at it. You know, when you look at the Atlanta Braves, Dan, you know, obviously they've been playing fantastic, but as you kind of circle around their everyday lineup, you know, you keep looking at that third base spot. I know they've been using Johan Camargo. You know, he got hurt for a little bit, so they were shuffling guys in and out, but he's back now. You know, not sold on him being the everyday third base guy. So, Dan, do they go calling Kansas City and bring in a guy like Mike Moustakas, who, you know, obviously he's on a really cheap deal. You know, I think he ended up just taking like $8 million to go back to Kansas City for 1 year. You know, since he is on just that 1 year deal, it may not take a ton to get him. Do you see this maybe being Atlanta's move instead of maybe paying more for a Machado for half a year? And I mean, do you like this?
But I thought Freddie Freeman played first base there.
Third base.
Oh, he's playing third base now?
No, he did play third base last year. Freeman plays first, but they got Johan Camargo playing third. So.
And then Moustakas plays first.
No, Moustakas plays third. He has played a little first, but he's generally a third baseman.
Yeah, I mean, what would you say, roughly $4 million, $5 million for the rest of the season? That's not a bad deal. As long as the umpires know what infield fly rule is.
Yes. Well, I can't guarantee that. So, there are always questions with that. And then a couple other, names that have popped up. And I think maybe not last year, but 2 years ago, this guy was on the market. And then last year, I was a little surprised that this guy wasn't traded. For I think it's been about 2 years now, the Twins have been trading Brian Dozier. It's been going, through and through. It's like, okay, it's time for him to move. And then since we're on second baseman, I really thought the Reds would deal Scooter Jeanette last year. And, because he was having a fantastic year, but they ended up hanging on to him. He's off to another pretty good start this year. You got either one of these guys, both of these guys, they both going to move this year. I think Dozier's in the last year of his deal, so that may be a deciding factor there. I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but yeah, do you see either of these guys staying put, or what do you have these guys doing here?
Well, I mean, who would be in need of either one?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think the Brewers could use an upgrade at second base. Just kind of, like I said, reeling it in off the top of my head. I don't know, maybe Arizona. I think they've been kind of swapping guys out. So, that could be a couple landing spots. I mean, if the Dodgers aren't interested in Logan Forsythe, maybe one of these guys could be an upgrade for them.
It could be. I mean, you mentioned the Diamondbacks, but aren't they still in kind of the race for Machado?
Yeah, well, I think everybody's still in the race for Machado. The Mariners could always use one of them, and then they could put D. Gordon back in the outfield. Yeah, they wanted him to play some second base while Robinson Cano was suspended. So.
Oh, that's right.
So, but yeah, I don't know. Do you think this is the year the Twins pull the trigger?
My internet's slow. I was trying to pull up his contract.
So, all right. Well, maybe I can hunt it down here real quick while you're waiting for yours here. So, but
and then I got
yeah, this looks like the last year of it. He signed a 4-year, $20 million deal back in 2015. And he is he's only making $9 million this year in the final year of his deal.
Well, which one of the contenders is dire need of a second baseman now?
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
Boston,
and then Jeanette is also in the last year. Jeanette's also in the last year of his deal. It looks like he goes to arbitration next year. He's making 5.7 this year. He's got one more year of arbitration before he's a free agent in 2020. Well, that's where they are.
I think either one would be a good fit in Boston.
So, yeah, another possibility there with, the up-in-the-air Dustin Pedroia situation. Yeah, And then we talked about third base a little bit before. You know, one of the guys I kind of overlooked because he's just kind of having an injury-plagued season. Do you think the Blue Jays have a chance to move Josh Donaldson? I know he's only played in 36 games. He had a bit of a setback with his calf that may not bring him back till the waiver deadline of the trade period, where they would actually have to get him through waivers. Of course, he's making $23 million, so I don't know if anybody would claim him. Do you see him as would he be a better choice for the Braves? Or, that team looking, I'd heard some reports that the Indians may grab a third baseman and move Jose Ramirez back to second, where they actually think he's a better defender. So, do you see maybe Donaldson moving? Do you think the Blue Jays can get anything for him at this point?
Well, I mean, you're looking at, roughly $12 million for a rental player. Do you really want to throw that around for a guy who's been injury-plagued?
He did have some injuries last year, but this is really, really taking it. But, we're talking a guy who's not far removed from, an MVP season. Could he be a turning point? You add a guy like that magically to the middle of your lineup, and could your team take off?
I mean, like you mentioned, he's only been in 36 games. He's batting .234 with 5 bombs and 16 RBIs. Surprisingly, his contract doesn't give you strikeouts because strikeouts don't matter. Oh, there they go, 44. He's an, on average, 100 strikeout kind of guy. I don't think he's an answer for a team like the Braves, especially for a team that's building and has young people. Why would you want to go with a guy that you're going to pay, more than at least 2 or 3 of your players for a half a season? Doesn't make a whole lot of business.
Don't you need a veteran guy eventually in a clubhouse?
Yeah, but are you going to go after a guy who you're only going to have through October? And there's
like you mentioned the Braves, they're not looking for a long-term solution at third base because they have a prospect. So, a guy like this, or, like we mentioned Moustakas earlier, it could be an interesting add. It's like, oh, okay, here, maybe this is something that, because, I haven't been a huge believer that they're going to stay here with the roster they have. So, does adding a veteran guy who's got some postseason experience, in Moustakas' case, has won a World Series, is that just something that, they could do? And obviously Moustakas is more affordable. So, but he's a lefty. I don't know. Do you want a righty to go behind Freeman? I mean, a couple things kind of plug in, but, I'm guessing you probably don't have to give up a ton to get him at this point, especially if you're picking up part of the contract. So, you got to at least kick the tires, right?
Well, you mentioned Donaldson, but I think the smarter choice would be go with Moustakas, where you're only up for, $3 million? And then you have the option of keeping him on for $15 million next year or paying him out $1 million for the buyout and kind of moving on with it. That makes a lot more sense to me than throwing it all on Josh Donaldson, when that just seems to me going after Josh Donaldson right now is almost like I don't want to bank on a guy who's coming back and trying to get his groove back. I'd rather go with a guy who's been playing the whole season.
Yeah, but with Moustakas, what if they wanted more? You probably get Donaldson pretty cheap, at this point. I mean, obviously it's going to take a decent prospect because he's got some history, but, to land a Moustakas, maybe it takes multiple guys.
I wouldn't think so, because they obviously didn't value him that high when they signed him this year and they let him walk.
So, well, you know, part of the reason, though, that they let him walk because they thought he was going to get a big contract. I mean, they were willing to bring him back under the, what is that, the tag or whatever they put on him. Yeah, the qualifier. They were willing to bring him back under that for a year. But, you know, yeah, like I said, I think they expected him to get a bigger offer, as did a lot of people. So, you know, they were the team really in need of some third base help. So, you know, I guess you go to where you're comfortable.
Yeah, but if you're giving up for him, then, you know, you're looking at, you know, Jonathan Mayo, top draft picks that are, you know, 5 years away of one, maybe two. I don't think it will hurt as much as going after Josh Donaldson. And paying, you know, giving up as much, but having to pay out the remainder of his contract for this year and upwards of $13, $14 million. For a guy who's coming off an injury, who hasn't caught his groove, and you'll be waiting for that to come around. I don't think it's that smart.
Yeah, if you say so. I think you're adding too much accounting, but I see how you are.
Well, I mean, why do you like Josh Donaldson so much?
Well, I don't. That's Mr. Fantasy guy. So.
Yeah, you're the one who keep pressing on him a little bit more. I mean, you mentioned he's coming back from an injury.
He looks like a good trade contact, guy, doesn't he? You know, final year of his deal. I doubt the Blue Jays are going to be bringing him back. So it looks like, a good deal.
Yeah, if the Blue Jays pick everything up and you only pay a couple million. But then you'd have to, give up some of your prospects. So, I mean, whether you go with Moustakas or Donaldson, you're going to have to give up.
Yeah, you know, but at this point in time, I mean, how much are you really going to have to give up for Donaldson? You know, I mean, Moustakas, you can actually keep an extra year if you decide you want to keep it. You know, besides the fact that you're taking on less money, you have an option to hang on to him. You know, maybe, you know, that's going to cost you more prospect-wise than it is a guy, you know, you're going to have to pay more for half a year. But, you know, he's only going to be there for that half a year. I mean, you know, if you think one of these guys puts you over the top and it's a need you have, you know, don't you have to, you got to go get one of them?
Yeah, that's why I keep going in Moustakas' direction. I've never heard of an option year costing you more in the prospect field.
Oh, yeah, because you can keep him.
Yeah, but
so,
I mean,
you know,
who's to say that Kansas City is going to
pay
the million and buy him out?
So, oh, yeah, you can always do that, but, I mean, that's, you know, that's your option, though. I mean, that's, you know, why it's called an option. We both know that. You know, I mean, if you, you know, you've got this guy, now you can keep this guy against the guy who, you can, you know, you're only going to have for half a year. Well, you know, what's, you know, and it might not be a bunch more, but it's going to be more. You know, I mean, it's less money and an opportunity to hang on to him. You know, at a relatively reasonable salary in today's baseball, I mean, $15 million is going to be less than the qualifying offer. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of set up that way. But, you know, you're probably going to have to pay a little more. You know, obviously, it's not going to be your number one and your number two prospect or anything like that. But it's probably going to have to be a good prospect and another solid guy where, you know, you might be able to bring Donaldson in for a lower tier prospect just to take a look at them and pick up some of that money.
Yeah, I'd still rather go with Moustakas.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, that's the object of trying to figure this out. So. But that's what they do. So, hey, did you know that the Twins and the Brewers were the Facebook game of the day? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they start not too far off.
So yeah, I think they just got going. So I did not realize they were they had a game. You know, I have to find all other alternatives now that I'm tabletless. So you know. So. You know, I have to figure something out. So might have to watch games on Facebook now.
Well, it's not anything to figure out. Just type in MLB Live.
There's always something to figure out, right?
That's because you're old.
Yeah. So. But you know, like I said, you know, I'm stuck, you know, without the tablet. I mean, you know, it runs the television, and you know, I can't use either of them. So I got to find another way to watch games.
You can't use the TV or the tablet.
No, because the tablet's broke, and the tablet has the remote or the TV on it. So.
You do realize you can download the remote on your phone, right?
Yeah, maybe I can. I don't know if I can actually accomplish that. So, but we'll have to see. So,
you just go in your app store and Roku remote.
This makes me sad. So. You know, it was a very trying day, so.
Did you try charging it?
Yeah, it's there right now, actually. It's on the charger, but it's not, sadly, it doesn't seem to be taking the charge, and when I, you know, just doesn't love me anymore. I don't know what happened to it, so. I keep hoping there will be a miracle somewhere and it'll magically start to work again. I very much enjoyed having it, but oh well. You know, I know in the worst case scenario, you know, there are some, I was looking for some earlier. There are some quite affordable ones. Maybe I'll have to pick up a cheaper one and see what it looked like.
Doesn't Mr. Fantasy have one for you?
I don't know. Do you talk to him? I haven't spoken to him since a couple Sundays ago, so I don't know. I'm hoping he got over his illness. I don't know. So yeah, you know, like I said, I'm not sure what's going on with him. I'm always concerned, but you know.
Oh, speaking of concerning Mr. Fantasy, have you put together any lineup today?
Oh, you know, I did. On the plus side, the lineup I did yesterday actually won $2. So that was a big positive. It helped that Matt Kemp went like 5 for 5. But obviously the one will be in quite flux because it's quite a few hours before the games actually start. Let's see, for my home run derby today, now I only get Mike Trout, there's no Bryce Harper. So it's Mike Trout and two catchers, so I went with Mike Zunino of the Mariners and JT Realmuto of the Marlins because it is catcher week. And then for my lineup, I read a lot. Apparently I needed to load up on Indians and Astros. So I have 3 Indians and 2 Astros, but this is what I came up with, going with Clayton Kershaw. I think he's fully back and Believe it or not, at 10,600, that's a really affordable price for Kershaw, because when he's up and rolling, he's normally up over 12. My catcher first baseman is Yonder Alonso of the Indians, cost me $2,700. Second base is Daniel Descalzo of the Diamondbacks. He cost me $2,600. Third base, I got the Pandas in my lineup tonight, Dan. Going with Pablo Sandoval for $3,000. My shortstop is Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros, just $2,300. I'm hoping there's some value there. My first outfielder is Michael Brantley of the Indians. He cost me $3,900. Then I got Josh Reddick of the Astros for $2,600. My outfield rounds out with Nick Williams of the Phillies at $2,500. He's the only guy in my lineup who's actually confirmed so far. He's hitting fifth for the Phillies tonight. And then my utility guy is Jose Ramirez of the Indians for $4,800. Tried as I might, I was trying to get Francisco Lindor in my lineup, but I just couldn't work out the money. They were both pretty high priced. But the recap, I got Clayton Kershaw pitching, Yonder Alonso at the catcher first base slot, Daniel Descalzo at second, Pablo Sandoval at third, Marwin Gonzalez at short. The outfield is Michael Brantley, Josh Reddick, and Nick Williams. And the utility guy is Jose Ramirez. This doesn't start till 6:05, so it may change as the lineups are released, so I can see who's playing, you know, in case somebody's not starting. So, but that's what I plugged in to start with. Did you? I did hit a home run last night, but I don't know who hit it. Did you have any success with home runs? And who did you plug in tonight?
I had success, but of the two I hit, I needed four to win.
Oh.
So that was kind of disappointing. But yeah, tonight, Jose Ramirez, Mike Trout, and Nelson Cruz.
Oh, I got a Bryce Harper home run last night. That's where it's from. So, yeah, there you go. I was trying to think who Lindor had multiple home runs. I wonder if the winner had probably had him in his lineup, huh? That helped him get the four. So, which you know was not a bad. I could see going with Lindor. How many guys had four? Looks like quite a few had four. So. Yeah, like the guy they put on top of the board had Lindor, Judge, and Betts. So, you know, not too bad. And this other guy had Bellinger plugged into his lineup. So that's just a couple of the ways they went with their lineups that worked for them that didn't work for me. So, and I told you I jinxed Jose Ramirez for you because I had him in my daily lineup.
Yeah, but you had Judge too, I thought.
Yes, I did. And he actually homered. So you got lucky there. That doesn't happen too often. So that was a big, big plus. But yeah, I was just, you know, nice to bounce back and pick up a couple bucks. I know the lineups I have been putting up lately, they've been doing okay, but they hadn't been winning. So, you know, it's nice that they won. That's a big plus, you know, even though I know it's going to be, it was just $2. Well, hey, I'll take $2. You know, it only cost me a dollar. I'll double my money. That's no problem. So I don't have an issue with that at all. So. No, I've had much worse luck than that. And we'll have to see. I did realize, Dan, I don't know if you saw this one. I'll have to tweet it over to you. Somebody finally stole my idea, Dan. Let me see if I can find the writer of this. Here's the title of the article. We traded Manny Machado to every team. Here's who he helps the most. So, yeah. Somebody's listening to us. I don't know who it is. It's the Mickey Mouse website, by the way. It's Bradford Doolittle is the staff writer who put this article together. So, yeah, I came across that just, I was actually looking for something else and I saw it pop up there and I was like, wait a minute. So, yeah, there you go. They, somebody finally listened to us, Dan. After how long have we been talking about this with Machado?
All season. Did you peek into it a little bit? Get some laughs.
So yeah, I actually have it. I have it up here, but it doesn't appear. Yeah, he breaks it down into like buyers, and let me find the other category here. Buyers, holders. I'm assuming holders means people who wouldn't try to resell, and then sellers. So I don't know, you know, how it works out. But oddly, he has the Yankees on the top of his list of buyers. I don't know how he randomly came up with that, but yeah, it's Yankees, Astros, Cubs, Braves, Diamondbacks, Indians, Brewers, Mariners and Red Sox that should be the buyers as they have it here. So, you know, just a lot of stuff that you and I have been, oh, you know, over and over quite a few times. You know, again, though, it's not a lot of talk of what somebody might have to give up or anything like that. It's always, you know, the big suggestion there, you know, obviously is what do you have to send in return. But, you know, hey, at least somebody was finally listening to me. So,
about time.
But yeah, I'm a little surprised. Well, I guess it makes sense for the Dodgers just to be a holder because they would get Seager back next year. You know, yeah, it's Dodgers, Phillies, Nationals, Cardinals, Giants, Angels, A's as the holders. It appears that what they decided a holder was is a team that would just bring them in for the rest of this year and wouldn't try to re-sign them. So, yeah, and then the rest of the teams, if I didn't name the teams in one of those first two categories, they're just sellers. Is what he has them as. So, yeah, you, did you, not that you and I haven't been over this just about every day for the foreseeable future, but did anything pop up there that you thought was interesting?
No, I still think the Giants, the Dodgers would be a perfect fit to kind of work that out for themselves.
So, yeah, you know, again, it's, you know, it'll be interesting if he actually moves, you know, what kind of happens here. So, I'll be talking about it for, you know, till it happens. All right, well, this week is going to be one that I take off. As always, good thanks for coming on and listening live. Don't forget to contact us and let us know what you're listening to.